The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 5. The Magical Control of the Weather. Section 4. The Magical Control of the Wind. Once more, the savage thinks he can make the wind to blow or to be still. When the day's hot and a yakut has a long way to go, he takes a stone which he has chanced to find in an animal or fish, winds a horse hair several times round it, and ties it to a stick. He then waves the stick about, uttering a spell. Soon a cool breeze begins to blow. In order to procure a cool wind for 9 days, the stone should first be dipped in the blood of a bird or beast and then presented to the sun, while the sorcerer makes 3 turns contrary to the course of the luminary. If a Hottentot desires the wind to drop, he takes one of his fattest skins and hangs it on the end of a pole, in the belief that by blowing the skin down the wind will lose all its force and must itself fall. Fujian wizards throw shells against the wind to make it drop. The natives of the island of Bibili, off New Guinea, are reputed to make wind by blowing with their mouths. In stormy weather, the Bogadian people say, the Bibili folk are at it again, blowing away. Another way of making wind which is practiced in New Guinea is to strike a wind stone lightly with a stick. To strike it hard would bring on a hurricane. So in Scotland, which is used to raise the wind by dipping a rag in water and beating it thrice on a stone, saying, I knock this rag up on this stane to raise the wind in the devil's name, it sail not lee till I please again. In Greenland, a woman in childbed and for some time after delivery is supposed to possess the power of laying a storm. She has only to go out of doors, fill her mouth with air, and coming back into the house blow it out again. In antiquity there was a family at Corinth which enjoyed the reputation of being able to still the raging wind. But we do not know in what manner its members exercised a useful function, which probably earned for them a more solid recompense than mere repute among the seafaring population of the isthmus. Even in Christian times, under the reign of Constantine, a certain Sapata suffered death at Constantinople on a charge of binding the winds by magic, because it happened that the corn ships of Egypt and Syria were detained afar off by calms or headwinds, to the rage and disappointment of the hungry Byzantine rabble. Finnish wizards used to sell wind to storm-stayed mariners. The wind was enclosed in 3 knots. If they undid the first knot, a moderate wind sprang up. If the second, it blew half a gale. If the third, a hurricane. Indeed, the Estonians, whose country is divided from Finland only by an arm of the sea, still believe in the magical powers of their northern neighbors. The bitter winds that blow in spring from the north and northeast, bringing ague and rheumatic inflammations in their train, are set down by the simple Estonian peasantry to the machinations of the Finnish wizards and witches. In particular, they regard with special dread 3 days in spring to which they give the name of Days of the Cross. One of them falls on the eve of Ascension Day. The people in the neighborhood of Felin fear to go out on these days lest the cruel winds from Lapland should smite them dead. A popular Estonian song runs. Wind of the cross. Rushing and mighty. Heavy the blow of thy wings sweeping past. Wild wailing wind of misfortune and sorrow, wizards of Finland ride by on the blast. It is said, too, that sailors, beating up against the wind in the Gulf of Finland, sometimes see a strange sail heave in sight astern and overhaul them hand over hand. On she comes with a cloud of canvas, all her studding sails outright in the teeth of the wind, forging her way through the foaming billows, dashing back the spray in sheets from her cut water, every sail swollen to bursting, every rope strained to cracking. Then the sailors know that she hails from Finland. The art of teeing up the wind in 3 knots, so that the more knots are loosed the stronger will blow the wind, has been attributed to wizards in Lapland and to witches in Shetland, Lewis, and the Isle of Man. Shetland seamen still buy winds in the shape of knotted handkerchiefs or threads from old women who claim to rule the storms. There are said to be ancient crones in Lerwick now who live by selling wind. Ulysses received the winds in a lethem bag from Aeolus, king of the winds. The Motamota in New Guinea think that storms are sent by an Ayaba sorcerer. For each wind he has a bamboo which he opens at pleasure. On the top of Mount Aga in Togo, a district of West Africa, resides a fetish called Bagba, who is supposed to control the wind and the rain. His priest is said to keep the winds shut up in great pots. Often the stormy wind is regarded as an evil being who may be intimidated, driven away, or killed. When storms and bad weather have lasted long and food is scarce with the central Esquimaux, they endeavor to conjure the tempest by making a long whip of seaweed, armed with which they go down to the beach and strike out in the direction of the wind, crying, "Dabba, it is enough." Once when northwesterly winds had kept the ice long on the coast and food was becoming scarce, the Esquimaux performed a ceremony to make a calm. A fire was kindled on the shore, and the men gathered round it and chanted. An old man then stepped up to the fire and in a coaxing voice invited the demon of the wind to come under the fire and warm himself. When he was supposed to have arrived, a vessel of water, to which each man present had contributed, was thrown on the flames by an old man, and immediately a flight of arrows sped towards the spot where the fire had been. They thought that the demon would not stay where he had been so badly treated. To complete the effect, guns were discharged in various directions, and the captain of a European vessel was invited to fire on the wind with cannon. On the 21st of February 1883 a similar ceremony was performed by the Esquimaux of Point Barrow, Alaska, with the intention of killing the spirit of the wind. Women drove the demon from their houses with clubs and knives, with which they made passes in the air. And the men, gathering round a fire, shot him with their rifles and crushed him under a heavy stone the moment that steam rose in a cloud from the smoldering embers, on which a tub of water had just been thrown. The Lenua Indians of the Gran Chaco ascribe the rush of a whirlwind to the passage of a spirit and they fling sticks at it to frighten it away. When the wind blows down their huts, the Payaguas of South America snatch up firebrands and run against the wind, menacing it with the blazing brands, while others beat the air with their fists to frighten the storm. When the Gunaikaras are threatened by a severe storm, the men go out armed, and the women and children scream their loudest to intimidate the demon. During a tempest the inhabitants of the Batak village in Sumatra have been seen to rush from their houses armed with sword and lance. The Raja placed himself at their head, and with shouts and yells they hewed and hacked at the invisible foe. An old woman was observed to be specially active in the defense of her house, slashing the air right and left with a long saber. In a violent thunderstorm, the peals sounding very near, the Kayans of Borneo have been seen to draw their swords threateningly half out of their scabbards, as if to frighten away the demons of the storm. In Australia the huge columns of red sand that move rapidly across a desert tract are thought by the natives to be spirits passing along. Once an athletic young black ran after one of these moving columns to kill it with boomerangs. He was away 2 or 3 hours, and came back very weary, saying he had killed Coochie, the demon, but that Coochie had growled at him and he must die. Of the Bedouins of Eastern Africa it is said that, no whirlwind ever sweeps across a path without being pursued by a dozen savages with drawn greys, who stab into the center of the dusty column in order to drive away the evil spirit that is believed to be riding on the blast. In the light of these examples a story told by Herodotus, which his modern critics have treated as a fable, is perfectly credible. He says, without however vouching for the truth of the tale, that once in the land of the Psili, the modern Tripoli, the wind blowing from the Sahara had dried up all the water tanks. So the people took counsel and marched in a body to make war on the south wind. But when they entered the desert the simoon swept down on them and buried them to a man. The story may well have been told by one who watched them disappearing, in battle array, with drums and cymbals beating, into the red cloud of whirling sand.